The gawky mothership, with its droopy wings, rolled onto the runway and turned sharply to align with the center stripe. It began to accelerate immediately, the engines keening at full power. Designed for the sole purpose of getting Rue up to its launch altitude of 38,000 feet, Kanga wasn't the most dynamic aircraft in terms of performance. It used up nearly the entire runway before transitioning into the air to start its long, stately ascent. It took an hour for the plane to spiral up to altitude. Eric spent the time double-checking his equipment. Taggart merely sat quietly in his seat, playing a Game Boy flight simulator. They were 10 minutes early, according to Eric's timetable, so the plane carved lazy figure eights in the sky. High above them, the Soviet satellite was fast approaching. Unlike the shuttle or the International Space Station that orbited parallel to the equator, the orbital ballistic projectile weapon swept over the globe from pole to pole. In this way, it crisscrossed every square inch of the planet in 14 days as the Earth revolved beneath it. It was currently over Wyoming, coming on at almost 5 miles per second. In its present orbital track, it wouldn't arrive over Eos Island for another week, which was why one of the signals Eric had to send was to fire its maneuvering rockets and change its vector. If everything went as planned, the satellite would be in range to fire one of its rods in less than 8 hours.
"Coming up on T-minus 1 minute," Eric heard Butterfield announce. "All boards are green."
"Roger that, ground. 60 seconds.
A timer on Eric's console began to click backward, while the digital speed indicator mounted on the dashboard remained pegged at 400 miles per hour.
30 seconds. 10. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Go for separation.
The pilot aboard the mothership released a lever that held Rue clamped to the aircraft's belly. The space plane fell free for a few moments to get distance from Kanga before Taggart toggled the liquid rocket motor. To Eric, it felt as if every one of his senses was assaulted at the same instant. The roar of the engine was like standing at the base of a waterfall, a palpable sensation that beat on his chest. The airframe's vibrations forced him to clutch the armrest while he was slammed back into his seat, as if by a giant fist. His body shook inside his skin so much it felt like someone was rubbing him with sandpaper. His mouth had gone dry from the dose of adrenaline sent shooting into his veins. The G-forces kept him pressed into his reclined seat as Taggart pointed the nose ever higher, the vibrations getting progressively worse, and Eric feared the airframe would come apart in midair. And then they burst through the sound barrier. The vibrations diminished, and while he could still feel the thrust of the engine, they were traveling faster than its throaty snarl, and it grew noticeably quieter. 1 minute after the motor kicked in, they burst above 100,000 feet, and Eric was finally coming to grips with the ride. His heart rate slowed, and for the moment, he let himself enjoy the space plane's raw power. The airspeed gauge hit 2,000 miles per hour, and they still accelerated. Looking over his head, he noticed the sky darkening rapidly as they roared up through the atmosphere. As if by magic, stars began to appear, faintly at first, but brightening. He had never seen so many so clearly. He knew if he stretched out his hand, he would be able to touch them. The indicator in front of him suddenly flashed red. He couldn't believe 4 minutes could pass that quickly. Straining against the G's, he moved his hand over to the laptop. 10 seconds, he said on the frequency the Oregon was monitoring. If Holly replied, it was lost in the rocket's din. The altimeter was still reeling off numbers in a blur. They hit 394,000 feet when the light went yellow, and in those last 5 seconds, they rose another mile. The indicator turned green just as they hit the 400,000-foot mark. Eric typed in the command as the rocket motor consumed the last of its fuel
and the cyclonic pumps that fed it went quiet. The G-forces that had hammered him into his seat suddenly released him, and the silence left his ears ringing. They had gone weightless. He had often experienced moments of it on roller coasters and on a few flights with Tiny Gunderson when they were fooling around, but this felt different. They were on the very edge of space now, not playing tricks with gravity, but almost out of its reach.